if you don't have the presence of God, if you don't have the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, then what you're doing, even though they may be the best laid efforts and best motives and intentions, without God, it's all vanity. It's going to fall flat. We need God. We need His Holy Spirit. We need His presence in our life. We see that once David is anointed, the Spirit of the Lord falls on David, rushes on David, and remains with David.
Welcome to Friendly Connection. Friendly Connection is the teaching ministry of Chuck Hartman.
Understand that each one of you in this room can share the good news of Christ in a way that I cannot.
Friendly Connection is an inspirational and encouraging weekly walk through the Word.
Think about the number of us, no matter how young or old you are, in this room, how many lives each of us could touch and change this week by redeeming the time.
We at Friendly Connection pray that today's message will be an encouragement as you live out your faith.
That is essential. If you are doing any kind of work for the kingdom of God, it's important that you know your identity in Christ Jesus.
Now, let's go to today's message.
It is so good to see each and every one of you. Welcome to the house of the Lord this morning. Years ago, Sonia and I owned a recording studio, and we had a lot of fun with that recording studio, and we had a lot of challenges with that recording studio at the same time. We had a lot of really good groups come in and record with us, and it was always a joy. And occasionally, we had some people come in and groups come in, and you wondered why they were there. Because I'm not God. I can only do so much. I mean, you need talent if you're going to record. Now, I know today things are a little different with Melodyne and things like that. You can pull pitches, but I didn't have that luxury back in those days. That was just right before we had pitch correction and things like that. And still, even with that, my ears goes, that sounds a little digital when things are being fixed. But we had a lot of groups, and we had a lot of groups come through that had the word messenger in their title. We had Calvary messengers, the gospel messengers, the God's messengers, the Father's messengers, the good news messengers. We had one group that came through called the King's messengers. And oh, they were a joy to work with. I mean, they came in, knew their stuff, laid down their tracks. Was beautiful. They called me about 3 months later and they said, just wanted you to know our album is on the top 100 gospel, Southern gospel charts right now. So I had to go out and get a Singing News magazine. Because, you know, that's a very pleasing moment to know you have a part in their being on the charts. Yes, they have the talent to do it, but I engineered that recording. I mixed that recording. I helped them sound good. Well, there was another group called the Royal Messengers who had heard the recording of the King's Messengers. They were from another state, and they called me up and wanted to record, and I said, sure, come record with us. After the first song, I'm like, okay. I mean, they were sort of like the Chuck Wagon Gang, only they lacked polish. I don't know any other way to say it. They lacked polish. And they're like, I'm like, anything you want to do different with this? Do you want to overdub anything, go back and change some things? They're like, no, we're going to record about 13 songs. We'll take the 10 that we like the best. And so throughout the day, it was a challenge getting through that recording. They sat and listened to all 13 songs and said, you know, we like them all. We're just going to put them all on the cassette. Like, okay, all right. So anyway, I didn't do the replication of cassettes. I just did the recording. I sent that off to Nashville for someone else to do. And so I filled out the paperwork, detailed, and their title of their cassette was But Jesus Saves, and I made sure their group name was on there, the Royal Messengers, and I sent it off to the duplication house in Nashville. And this duplication house did duplication for like big name people too. I never signed off, yes, you can run the whole lot, without getting a sample tape first. So about a week later, I get the sample tape of the production that I had just sent to them. And I'm excited. I open it up and look at it. And even though I had written in detail what needed to be imprinted on the cassette tape read, "The Royal Mess, but Jesus Saves." I kid you not. So Christy was our contact in Nashville, and I called her and I said, "Listen, I don't know if the guys back in production are just playing a joke. Thought that they would just shorten the name of the group." I said, "But regardless of what the tape might sound like, think about the fact that the Royal Mess, but Jesus Saves." And she agreed. And so we got that fixed, and they had their cassettes. But what this group would do is they would go to various nursing homes and skilled home facilities and share the gospel message. While they might not have been the most polished group, they had a love for God and a desire to share God. They were being faithful with what they had. And many of those people who were shut in those facilities said, "Would you please make a cassette?" And so they were literally spending all this money recording and producing 200 cassettes to literally give them out to people for free. You know, I'm not saying that the other group that had the song on the charts wasn't in it for the right reasons. They were. They loved God equally as much. But what I am saying is, while the one group might not have been as polished, they were out doing what they felt God was calling them to do. Whether someone thought that they were the royal mess or not, they were doing what they felt God was calling them to do. My encouragement to us is to be found faithful, even in the small things. Even if they're things that we don't do well, do them. If you feel that God is calling you to do something, do it. And trust Him to promote you in due season. In fact, if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to look at the first 13 verses this morning. I think, at least the way this speaks to me, I see this as a chapter about faithfulness, about God's faithfulness to His people, about Samuel's faithfulness to God, about David's faithfulness to God, and about Saul's lack of faithfulness to God, especially if we read the chapters before chapter 16. So 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 1, it reads like this, reading from the scripture that I normally read from, the ESV. "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided for myself a king among his sons.' And Samuel said, 'How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me.' And the Lord said, 'Take take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. And invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me him who I declare to you.' Samuel did what the Lord commanded and came to Bethlehem. The elders of the city came out to meet him, trembling, and said, 'Do you come peaceably?' And he said, 'Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice.' And he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they came, he looked on Eliab and thought, 'Surely the Lord's anointed is before him.' But the Lord said to Samuel, 'Do not look on his appearance or on his height or his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. And Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, well, there remains yet the youngest, but behold, he's keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down until he comes here. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy. He had beautiful eyes, and he was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Let us pray. Father, we're grateful for your word. We're grateful that this isn't just a narrative from antiquity, but this has life-changing value for us today. And Father, I pray that we all take away new life application from your word today. Father, I thank you that you hear us and that you answer us. I pray this in the strong name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Again, like I said before, I see this as a narrative of God's faithfulness, of David's faithfulness, of Samuel's faithfulness, and of Saul's unfaithfulness. So let's start with Saul. We meet Saul in the chapters before. Saul was not found faithful to God. Over and over and over again, God would instruct Saul, and Saul would do just the opposite of what God had instructed. Which leads me to question, who was Saul's king? I mean, Saul was the king, but in Saul's life, who was king? Now, some people might say Saul was Saul's king, and I think there is a ring of truth to that. And I would have to say, sure, I agree with that. But if we really look at the biblical text, over and over again, we see Saul use words like fear and fear the people. So I think really fear and fearing the people was probably Saul's king. He feared people. He feared fear more than he had a reverential fear for God. Many times when Saul speaks to Samuel, Saul will refer to God as Samuel's God. He says, your God. He never refers to God or rarely refers to God as his God. So it seems like there's a lack of a relationship with God, that Saul has the most prominent, paramount thing that Saul could have, Saul is missing in his life. In Acts chapter 13, it says that Saul reigned for 40 years. And what I want you to take away from this is this. While God took his spirit away from Saul, and Saul, he took the kingdom away from Saul, it wasn't an immediate takeaway. Saul continued to be king, but he was king without God's presence. You know, I want you to understand, whatever you do in life, if you don't have the presence of God, if you don't have the indwelling of his Holy Spirit, then what you're doing, even though they may be the best laid efforts and best motives and intentions, without God, it's all vanity. It's going to fall flat. We need God. We need his Holy Spirit. We need his presence in our life. We see that once David is anointed, the Spirit of the Lord falls on David, rushes on David, and remains with David, the scripture says.
I hope you will join us again for Friendly Connection so we can explore God's Word together. Blessings.